Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio show number 67 this evening.
broadcasting live here deep from the heart of Texas. Been out here a couple of days on my way out of here, but at the moment, still in the Bighorn State, as they call it, here on the, like I said, Black Men Talk Radio show number 67. So I'll get the number out right now. I'm your host, Marvin Carter. And we're going to get the number out right now. The number to call in to Black Men Talk Radio to speak your mind is 516-418-5541. Okay, today is April the 4th, 2016. And on this day in 1972, the Adam Clayton Powell Jr., that's Adam Clayton Powell Jr., he was 63, former congressman and civil rights leader, died in Miami. Okay, but anyway, now we are in 1968, on this same day, the Martin Luther King Jr. assassinated on this day, April 4th, 1968. Yeah, I remember that day pretty well. I was in the third grade. Yeah, that was, yeah, right, a whole lot of people crying. I can understand what people were crying about, you know, especially the teachers, you know, but parents didn't cry. But anyway, on this same day, April 4th, 1968, no doubt. And so, also on the same day, 1968, Independence Day in the Republic of Senegal. What do you know? Also on the same date, April 4th, 1967, came before the Overseas Press Club in New York City was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. But this is 1967. He was assassinated in 1968, but it was on the same day in 1967. He spoke in New York City before the Overseas Press Club announced his opposition to the Vietnam War. Also on the same day in 1942, April 4th, 1942, Richard Parsons, CEO in Dime Savings Bank, the first African-American CEO of a large minority U.S. savings institution, was born. Let's see here a little bit further down the road. Oh, yeah, 1915 on this very same day, April 4th. 101 years ago, the great legendary Muddy Waters was born in Rolling Fork, Mississippi, by the name of McKinley Morganfield. Was one of the greatest, most influential, and enduringly important musicians of the century, one who had reshaped the course of the blues. Okay, also on the same day here, that's not the day there at all. But anyway, tonight's show is going to talk about the 64 women that were reportedly missing, and basically nobody, you know, nobody seems to care about the 64,000 black women that are reportedly missing. And how could this be? We're trying to understand how could this be that many black women from the United States disappear and this report is back in 1964, so there's no telling what the number is today. And this report is from 2014. So there's not the real telling what the numbers are tonight. What's happened here at all? I hope I'm not talking to myself here at all. But anyway, let me double check here. Yep, everything's open. The number to call, once again, Black Men Talk Radio, 516-418-5541. Also, it's been like a lot of tension stirring lately from a bunch of ex-so-called Black Men Talk Radio show hosts that have been trying to cause trouble. You know, they're sore, a little bit sore, you know, who knows why. I don't fully understand it myself. But what are you supposed to do when you get, I mean, deal with people like that, you know, but you stuff part company with them and hope to never have to deal with them again. But it's not like that exactly. But anyway, also, let's see, before I go to, I'm finished with the historical facts on this day for right now. But I'm going to go over here right now and discuss also on today in 2016, Ted Cruz is in the news again. Now, of course, they're all in the news, but the biggest thing that made the news this evening here before it got too late was it was reported on Infowars.com that Ted Cruz has just informed that to the listening audience on Infowars.com that a lawyer representing the D.C. madam that was found hung in her mother's shed with bruises on her body. She committed suicide, but she had a bunch of bruises on her body, right? But that lawyer involved in that case is now attempting to get a federal judge to sign off on a release, releasing a information that out for that case that would reveal clients that had hired prostitutes that worked for the D.C. madam. One of the many numbers on that list belonged to Republican presidential candidate Ted Cruz, and that information is on the verge of being released. It's not already signed off by now. That was a couple hours ago. And also the lawyer that said he's going to release that information, he's so determined to get it released that even if the judge, the federal judge, doesn't sign off on it, he says he's going to go ahead and risk a chance of being in contempt of court and release it himself anyway. I say more power to it. But they also sit here and goes on to say one of the many numbers. You see, recently Ted Cruz, a lying Ted Cruz, was on Fox with anchor Megyn Kelly, and he told her that her and her listeners always been faithful to his wife Heidi Cruz. And I sort of find that, you know, hard to believe, you know. But like I said, we're about to find out because the information came out today and a few hours ago. And it's going to definitely get released some kind of way. Matter of fact, even a week ago, it said Ted Cruz should have something to be concerned about. Now it comes out today that it's about to be released. So you won't have a leg to stand on, especially with the Wisconsin primary coming up tomorrow. And all I say is make America great again. Anyway, got a number coming out of Washington, D.C. here. It might be Ted Cruz calling from D.C. Let me see what that is. Let's go ahead and take that call real quick here. Area code 202-749, your Black Men Talk Radio. How you doing?
Hey, brother. How are you?
Not too bad, brother. I hope I'm doing all right. Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. Do you hear me? Okay.
Yes, I do.
Good. Yeah, thanks for calling Black Men Talk Radio. Thanks for prove that I'm not talking to myself tonight here, you know, because I can't hear any talk back or nothing. So what's on your mind this evening, brother? What's on your mind for calling Black Men Talk Radio?
I was just calling, checking out the show. Saw the advertisement, so I said, well, let me find out what this is about.
Right. And now you want to find out what it's about, what part, what specific.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay, Black Men Talk Radio, helping black men be great again. I just have a question. When weren't we great? When did that stop happening?
Well, brother, I know you're saying that. You know, the day and age, brother. I don't know how long you've been around, but, you know, black men have been moving, going backwards. Black women been going forward and with an attitude out of this world. So, you know, really it's a phrase, you know, but at the same time, when you think about it, are black men doing better in this world or worse? And I'm talking about in the United States of America. Now, you know, we can say, oh, man, black men doing real good. Ain't no problems, but we know better than that. Those wise ones of us know black men are really have been going backwards for a long time. You know, it is like almost in every area you look at. Now, how you don't know that, I don't know where you live at, but if you live in the United States of America, you pretty much know that black men in bad shape in all kinds of areas. And that's why we need to do something to reverse that and put black men back in, make black men great again. Go ahead.
Okay, the question, and I can probably understand, but who needs to be accountable for that? If you're looking at the nihilism that black men go through and suffer from, how is that resolved?
My brother, I think that's a $64,000 question right there. You know, if we knew the answer to it, we'd be able to solve it. But Black Men Talk Radio is opening up to the airwaves so we can hear somebody out there that's got the solution. You may be the man with the solution. I know I don't have that, but I do know if we don't learn to talk about it, we're not going to ever get it solved. And that's a fact. And one reason black women and women in general have moved so far ahead of men in this area. Now, of course, they got the government helping them on themselves. Up there helping them and backing them and being and enforcing it with the help of the police. But at the I lost my train of thought there. But at the same time, oh, man, but, I mean, anyway, brother, ask you a question. I was looking at something else here, and I saw I lost my train of thought because I got a lot to say on this subject. I just don't want to say the wrong thing at the wrong time.
Oh, well, it's your show, so therefore you get to say what it is that you need to say. The question is...
Yeah, pretty much.
The question is, and, you know, where does the nihilism get addressed? You know, in particular black men define themselves by what they do in their life as opposed to what they do with
right.
it. Okay? That's
exactly.
one
right.
way to that's one way to resolve it. If you're defining yourself by what you do in your life, okay? Meaning defining yourself by your jobs, your credit cards, your bank accounts, your cars, your houses, and so on, the material mess. What happens when all that disappears? Then
well,
where
even,
is yourself?
Right, but even if you don't have all the materialistic things, you got a lot of brothers that have a hard time staying out of jail. And I know the system want to see black men. A lot of people in the system want to see black men in jail, and they set it up, you know, trapped everywhere. It's almost a black man trapped society to a great extent. Now, I've managed to keep myself out of them, but I've been real close and almost caught in the jaws of the jail system myself several times. But I used to work on the other side of the law myself, putting people in jail, but that's been a long time ago. I'm glad I did that because I learned during them times back in my 20s the things to do to keep my butt out of jail, and it paid off a whole lot. So I can gladly say I've never been in jail, never been in prison. I stopped putting people in jail, right? When I was doing that during that time. And I went into that so I could help black people. To help black people is why I got into that, brother. But go ahead.
Well, my brother, I've been on both sides of it, okay?
Right.
Like you, I was a police officer in my 20s, and just recently got hung up in the criminal justice system with some BS, but in the same token, there is a design to privatize and make men of color or anyone of color the commodity which to feed the privatization of prison and the criminal justice system. The question is, where is it that we of color didn't make a 30-second choice or take the time to make a 30-second choice, whereas that we wound up spending 2 years, a year, 6 months, 30 years thinking about a 30-second choice. Do you understand what I'm just saying?
I think I fully understand you, brother. That's a huge subject by itself. But, yeah, you know, like a lot of black people, I was talking to the brother today about that as a show, talking about how we were talking about black women. But the same thing with a lot of black men, especially ones who've been raised by a black woman about a single parent home. But we were talking about how black women seem to do everything that's not in their best interest. They like do things, as we said, ass backwards. So a lot of these black men seem to think that I'm sure you can bear me witness on this one. A lot of black men seem to think that when they come up on a cop, for whatever reason it is, because it happened to me years ago, some black man come driving his car down through a neighborhood like 75 miles an hour in a 30-mile or 25-mile-an-hour zone. And you get them pulled over, whoop, whoop. Well, get him pulled over and all. What'd I do? You know what? I mean, that's what happens so much. Now, they think they're hollering at the police and all the places they get away with it. But down where I live at, they didn't get away with stuff like that. Even with me
right.
telling the truth. A lot of times, when I stop them, I don't have to call nobody. Somebody else going to show up. And they see them doing that.
Right.
That's automatically disorderly conduct. Now, how are these black
okay.
people up north in these big cities get away without getting charged with disorderly conduct and disturbing the peace and resisting arrest? That's what he taught us. I don't know about you. He said, when they give you trouble like that, just use your pen. Use your pen and teach them a lesson. It's still going on today, brother, you know. So that's one thing. A lot of black people are their own worst enemy. In a lot of cases, wouldn't be in jail, like Sandra Bland. We even got the audio tape of her. She just shut her damn mouth. She wouldn't have got arrested that next day, you know. Do you escalate the situation by running them out?
Well, you see, the now I can't agree with that. Okay, because there was
a lot of a lot of another quieter location. Still there, Black Man Talk Radio, the number to come up, radio is 516-418-5541. Now go ahead, now, brother in D.C., go ahead.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, a little bit better.
Is that better?
Okay.
Okay, I don't agree with that, you know, the Sandra Bland analogy that you used. There was no reason for that to be escalated, and she didn't escalate it. That's the issue that we're having and in trying to
Wait a minute, brother. You mean to tell me you didn't hear that recording of her cussing the cop out and all that kind of stuff? Who started cussing for? I listened over and over and over again. Now, what she would do back in my cop days, whether it's black or white or whatever. I know that the white people cuss me like that. Black people are bad about doing it. So when you do that, folks, when you got freedom of speech, when you're out that side of the road with just you and the police, he got a gun, and you're supposed to have one in them cases, if you do, you better not touch it. And she out there cussing this cop out and all those kind of things. She escalated the situation, brother. I guess I'm going to go back and put and start playing that clip on the
head. I think you need to go look at it again, okay? Because there was no reason. First off, brother, I don't care who it is, okay? There is a certain amount of decorum, even as a former police officer. There is certain decorum that you exhibit. This particular police officer did not do that. He escalated
conduct about every state around. What is disorderly conduct and disturbing the peace? Well, disturbing the peace, you got to have somebody else there. But disorderly conduct alone, what does that mean?
I think you're using profanity to the police.
What does that mean? Profanity to a police officer in a state. I'm not talking about like somebody who's never been a cop. I know what I've seen and what happened every time I've ever seen. I've never known somebody cuss a cop and not go to jail like back in the days I was a cop. And it's still like that. Now, maybe in Washington, D.C., y'all let them get away with it. Matter of fact, y'all let them cut the teachers out in Washington, D.C. They cut the teacher out in class and nothing happened. Not really.
Well, brother, I think, you know, like I said, you have quite an screwed perception of what is respectful and what isn't. You respect the uniform, but when your person is disrespected, and in the Sandra Bland case, this young woman was seriously disrespected. And
brother, I really can't say it like that. I watched the whole thing, brother. I read the transcripts. I've read everything about that.
I saw it up in the video to know what it was. The video was quite understandable.
And one day, no wonder she got in trouble, and she's dead today. She had the same attitude you seem to have. She seemed to think you could talk back to police like that. Some you can, but why even risk it? And that would let her getting arrested and then dying 3 days later. We don't know what she died from. Not really. Maybe it'll come out eventually. But that's what she escalated that situation. Because even when you walked back there and said, you feel like you got an attitude or something like that and all, she said, well, I don't have the attitude. Either something, either said nothing. It doesn't say nothing. And just drove on off. But now, when you expect that, like that. When she did that, she escalated the situation. Disorderly conduct, cussing that cop. You can't cuss police out in most parts of this country and then expect to just walk off and drive away and not get in no trouble. That's why she's dead.
My brother, you got you got something here, brother, that, you know, whether or not it's to generate discussion or an adversarial, and I mean, it's really amazing to me that you're presenting this. It really is.
Well, brother, I tell you one thing. I don't even agree a whole lot with Tommy Sotomayor. His content on black women, yes, I agree with. Now, his use of the N word and cussing all the time, no, I don't agree with that. But even Tommy Sotomayor said the same thing. You know what I'm talking about. Even Tommy Sotomayor talked about Sandra Bland running the dirty mouth, and that would escalate the situation that ended up, transpired to a situation where she ended up dead in the jail, where she could have drove her down the highway, and she just shut her dirt mouth. I'm a truck driver. I'm still a truck driver. And one of the first things they teach us years ago, don't argue with the police beside the highway. You don't have to tell most of us that. I don't do it.
That's
and
true.
Most times, I've had too many cops go ahead and give me a warning. And some of them say, you know what, I got another car. I got to go. Just drive off and leave me inside the road. Didn't give me a ticket or nothing. Because I didn't go out there and say, what's up? I mean, I don't do that kind of stuff. You know, that's one reason I didn't get killed back in my 20s and 30s, like a lot of these folks getting shot, like this black man, he's called Oscar Grant, out there. Now, of course, the cop legally and technically was wrong for shooting him in the back. But he got that judge, shoot me, mother, you know what? Shoot me. I guess the cop same up there in Missouri, St. Louis, right after Michael Brown got killed. About a week later, he got another black man out there with a knife in his hand, telling the police, shoot me, what happened to you? Okay? Stuff like that. Nothing, but if you shut it during his mouth, the cop was in a way was wrong for shooting it, but this guy even had a knife in his hand. So he didn't have a leg to stand on. You know, you can't have nothing like that in your hand talking to the police like that. What you gonna expect? If you don't, that's why I said I'm glad I learned this back in 1920. Because I've been listening to all these fools that out there today, man. Don't let the police talk to you any kind of way, man, like that. You talk back to them. You know, there's a lot of graves, a lot of humps on the ground out there today. A lot of humps on the ground, known as graves. Today, black folks in particular, who cannot shut their damn mouth. And that's the biggest problem with black women. That's the number one reason. Well, maybe number two. Reason, I don't like black women in the United States at all. You know, they run their damn mouth during much. So that's understandable. It's not just me. I talked to brother about that today, talking about that, but anyway, brother, let me be quiet, let you talk, and then we'll go to somebody else.
Well, brother, you know, there are certain points that have some validity to what you're stating. But in the same token, Sandra Bland was not the cause, okay? You know, she probably was, her mouth probably was the effect that got her into that position. But she was not the cause. Okay, of that whole thing and her dying, you see, and that's what
guilty.
I had issues
she was
with.
Guilty. She was guilty of disorderly conduct. I assure you of that.
Wait a minute. How is she guilty of disorderly conduct? If she's sitting in a car,
I'm looking that definition up. Go ahead.
She's smoking a cigarette. The officer is telling her, you know, put the cigarette out. Excuse me? She's in her car. She is not under arrest. You have not asked her to step out the car. You tell her to put out a cigarette in her car. Look at the video. Look at the transcripts. And you'll see what I'm talking about.
Bro, what I
disobeying
a lawful order. That's what she did right. She didn't do that. She disobeyed a lawful order. You know
what was the lawful order? Wait a minute. What was the lawful order?
He gave her a reasonable command what to do, and she wouldn't do it.
No.
So of course, that's one reason. Well, I'm telling you, bro, that's the way I know it is. When you come to disobeying a lawful order,
Where was the lawful order? Where was the crime? Where was the probable cause? There was none.
Well, you're in a situation like that, brother. We're in a situation like that, and all. What the cop tell you to do, basically, you better do it. It was legal. Now, it went nothing wrong with her putting that cigarette out, but she refused to put it out. and that escalates the situation. I forgot about that. But, yeah, that's disobeying a lawful order, which is also a misdemeanor in almost every state.
Brother.
Hey, I didn't make I'm just trying to tell you, I read them years ago, and I know they still like that. I've seen it too many times. When these fools arguing with the police, and almost every time they're in jail wearing an orange jumpsuit, paying a darn big fine in court, like don't have it, like they don't know any better. I don't know what to say. That happened. I see that happen too many times. That's why I've never been to jail, been to prison. One reason.
Right.
Not the only reason, but one of the reasons I learned how to talk to the police. I ain't saying get out there and kiss they you know what and all like that. No, indeed. If I give them a BJ inside the highway, none of that kind of crap. That would be illegal by itself. But I'm saying, but as far as out there, just, you said put a cigarette out? I'm putting the cigarette out right then because I don't want to end up spending a lot of money that you probably never get back. Well, you're right or wrong. I know my rights. Black folks really know their rights. There's so many darn laws out there, you can't know your rights. That's the first thing they want to say.
What rights?
I know my rights.
Right?
I know my rights. They tell you that.
What rights? You don't have any rights here in this country, man. What rights?
Well, you're right. That's debatable. I understand what you're saying. But at the same time, it don't sense the way knowing that you ought to go out there and walk softly and not try to get yourself in all kinds of trouble unnecessarily. That your
right.
man is dead unnecessarily. Now, she might have got killed from something else a week later, but she's dead now. We all saw what led to it. She died in jail. She didn't die at the house. Because she got herself put in jail, right in her mouth, and disobeying a lawful order and disorderly conduct. Plain and
right.
simple. That's not my
right.
law. That law been there. Who knows how many years? I didn't make the law. I just read it and said, well, I can't do this. Can't do that.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious as to any other callers and what their opinion is about this. Is anybody else out there?
Well, that one in there, he dropped off. The other one in there dropped off already, but that's about the way it is. But the number to call the Black Men Talk Radio, if you want to defend Cedric Bland for acting during food, the number to call is 6-418-5541. Okay, but I do have some other information to cover. And that would be, let's see here real quick, if you got cold feet too, then he's gone. Hallelujah. Okay, get back here now to, let's see here. Got another, let me see right here, real quick. Once again, the number to call, 516-418-5541. Okay, Black Facts. Okay, so Black Facts already. 1,000 black women missing. Man, oh man. Well, anyway, the article on that, only 64,000 black women that are missing. See real quick. Also, you go check our website out, blackmentalkradio.com, the website. But it's still populating, having content added to it. Okay, here. So there is currently, now this article came out in 2014, so I tried to find one updated, but I didn't see it. But I didn't spend a whole lot of time looking for it either, you know, because really a lot of people don't care. But to say, 64,000 black women currently missing in the United States. There are currently 64,000 black women missing in the United States. Natalie Wilson, co-founder of the Black and Missing Foundation, and Avis Jones D. Weaver joined Roland Martin Thursday on News One Now to discuss their efforts to bring more awareness to missing women of color. They listen to this conversation below. Well, anyway, I listened to part of it. Made me sick. But anyway, for more information about that, about the Black and Missing Foundation, you can visit blackandmissing.org. Okay. But anyway, 4,000 black women in the United States missing. That's in 2014, probably more by now, probably. But also the, look back over here at a map. I didn't know how bad the situation was in the United States. I heard bits and pieces over the years about human trafficking and seen signs at truck stops and a lot of few things on Facebook and YouTube about it on the internet. Looking here at this map, it said, where do these foreign victims, where are they showing? Well, a lot of women, like in Texas, for example, when women get kidnapped, end up disappearing in Texas in these slave rings, sex rings, or whatever they got going on there, white slavery, a lot of times they end up in China, Malaysia, Thailand, Vietnam, Honduras, and Guatemala. And then out of Florida, a lot of these women, they end up missing down there that end up being found later. A lot of them end up in China, Malaysia, Thailand, Vietnam, Brazil, Costa Rica, Mexico, and Russia. And, you know, I did a video yesterday about Mexico, the video I did about women for sale in Mexico. You can go to Black Men Talk Radio, go to Google and type it in on Black Men Talk, or either Black Men Talk Radio on YouTube, and type in, and also on Facebook. You can see the video I posted yesterday where I was down in Mexico, and I was talking to this black Mexican man there, and he was telling me about, I was trying to get to talk about things down in Mexico and all, you know. And because we talk about here on the internet, a lot of these guys here talk about going to other countries and getting wives and girlfriends and trying to get away from these black women and other women here in the United States. And a lot of guys going to Brazil. A lot of guys want to go over to Asia, you know. A lot of black men now, black men. You know, and not to mention places like Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico and the Caribbean, all right? But Brazil, one of the biggest areas, the most popular places to travel to nowadays, even though it's a little bit more expensive than going to the Caribbean, maybe in Mexico. But anyway, yeah, they got another, on other map here shows where a lot of women end up disappearing up in Washington State. A lot of these women end up in, when they do, a lot of them like in Hong Kong, South Korea, Taiwan, Thailand. Now, for too long I've been hearing about all these, especially white women, end up disappearing and surfacing over in Saudi Arabia. A lot of women from the Philippines end up surfacing in Saudi Arabia. But I look at this thing here at all, and nowhere do I see Saudi Arabia on here at all. So I don't know if they paid to keep the name off the list or whatever. But you can go, the source of this here particular map here is Polaris, P-O-L-A-R-I-S Project, Polaris Project. That's where this information is coming from. It's showing a map of all this here human trafficking. And because I really paid a lot of attention to a lot lately. I started hanging out, working there out of South Texas, and with these Mexicans there and all. And I started paying attention, trying to learn a little bit of Spanish and listen to folks talk about things and do a lot more research and pay more attention to stories coming from Mexico and Central America. But especially at these truck stops, you see a lot of, you know, over the years I've been seeing a lot of signs that always say, don't get caught up in human trafficking. Not a whole lot about it on the radio or television, but a lot of it, you know, from the, it usually always has a good-looking Mexican woman on it. And I also got another brand-new caller here on Black Men Talk Radio. I guess I'll go ahead and just the number dot block. Go ahead and take them right here real quick. Going to 314-381. You're on Black Men Talk Radio.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Not too bad, that brother. Who am I talking to there? Where you calling from? What's that area code? 314.
It's Pianki calling from St. Louis. Hey, but I agree with you,
brother. Thank you, but thanks. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I agree with you on Sandra Bland. I'm sad that the lady lost her life. I'm sure you are too. But how many times would an officer had a right to tell a lady to put out the cigarette for his own protection?
Right.
And then he had a right to tell her to get out of the car. But here's the point. This man think he's right. If you think you are, I'm sorry, and you think he's wrong, well, the score is 1-1. It's a tie. and there ain't no third person
right.
around, and he got a gun. So what you need to do is just go ahead and comply, and if you're going to wage that war, wait till you get to court.
Exactly, brother. Exactly. You must be a lawyer, man. I'm glad you called back here about 2 weeks ago. I said, that guy sounds like a lawyer. When you called one time before, about 2 months ago, and you were talking to the brother out of Haiti, Dr. Yan, and I said, man, that brother sounds like a lawyer to me. So you're too wise not to be one, but go ahead, brother. I'm glad you called.
Well, I just use common sense. That's why I'm alive today. I ain't never been to prison neither.
Right?
Nor jail. So.
Exactly, brother. Right, right, exactly.
So a lot of, and you know, I stay within the Ferguson community. And the way
right.
a lot of these black, majority black towns around here, what they done with the problem of their police, they just dissolved the police department. And then they founded a co-op, which comprises, you know, black police officers who's working on these departments and blacks from the neighborhood. And they came back with that and got rid of all that riffraff that they used to have. So there's ways
right.
to win these things. You don't be one of them arguing with these people in the streets. These people, we always say they're crazy. If they're crazy, why you want to argue with them? So that's my point.
Hallelujah. Brother, you still there? I disconnected.
I'm still here.
Real quick there. I'm back on here now. Sorry about that. I was off about 45 seconds. So what were you saying
yeah.
last 45 seconds? Please repeat it. I want to hear it. If you don't mind, please.
Well, I was telling you about where I stay. I live not too far from Ferguson, you know, on the
right.
highway. And it's a lot of black communities, small towns, small municipalities that was having problems because their police department was majority white. So what several
right.
of them did, they just dissolved the police department. Then those communities got together and formed what's called the North County Cooperative. And
right.
it have people that live in the community, live in the area, African-American police officers, and it seems to be working much, much better. And it met the standards that the state was imposing anyway, because these little individual departments was not going to be able to meet the standards, and they was going to have to join on with the county, which they didn't want to do. So it's better. But the thing is that you don't fight those type of arguments with police in the street. If you got an argument, you just comply, take your notes, and get you a lawyer or go to court. That's where you win those things.
I agree, brother, 1,000%. You know, I never had that desire to want to argue with police in there. I don't like arguing, no way. But a lot of these folks, why do these black people, our own people, get this attitude from, man? I don't understand it. Like I said, years ago when I was a cop, the first thing, I don't know how many times I heard of you stopping for acting an idiot, acting a fool. I'm not talking about somebody who's speeding a little bit or somebody who just didn't stop long enough for a stop sign, didn't come to a full stop for a stop sign or whatever. But folks acting a complete idiot, a fool, everything else, and you stop them. What you say? What up to? What up to? And then the one thing, you know, automatically that's disorderly conduct right there off the top. You hear me?
Well, a lot of that stuff they get from home, man.
Right. Well, they
came
it from
up in home.
So many of them doing it. It's worse.
Yeah, you
today
came up
than
in home.
Back then.
Yeah, you know where else they get that from?
It was back then.
Yeah, they get that from schools.
Yeah, schools. Peer pressure, right? Also.
Yep. Yeah,
you know,
these schools are completely off the charts.
Yeah, back in my day, brother, I go to school. If I said a cuss word, and it even got reported that I said a cuss word. That a student said a cuss word, the teacher didn't have to hear the student curse. The teacher just get reported. You've been cussed. You can get suspended for that. That's how bad it was. So we didn't have no curse of the black folks calling each other the N-word, all that. You don't have that kind of stuff. You know, it was definitely a whole lot more better. But anyway,
right.
that was after integration. I was in the sixth grade. You're probably the same way with you at all, but nowadays these kids will curse the teacher out and throw stuff and hit the teacher, all like that. And they don't even get suspended. Yeah, you seriously. I mean, yeah. back in years ago, I think it's still like that where I live at. If a kid throws something and hit a teacher with it, like or whatever it might be, and they prove they did it, they might get suspended for the rest of the year. So that the other kids know you don't act a fool like that. And out there talking, I won't never shut up. I don't get me started, bro. That's ridiculous. But that's what leads a lot of these folks getting killed and never learning nothing. But, you know, one thing I want to mention earlier. Hey, yeah, go ahead, brother. I'm going to shut up. Please carry on. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'll listen to you.
One thing I wanted to mention also earlier when that other caller from Washington, D.C. was asking about, you know, what's the solution. He didn't say solution, but I can't remember the exact word he used. But one thing I wanted to mention that just sort of coincides with that is in this country not being able to do things like everybody else. A lot of black folks don't want to admit it, but the facts bear witness that black people are on the bottom of everything good, basically. When it comes to doing anything good in this community, in this society, we're on the very bottom and lower now than what we used to be. We used to be, and it's obvious. So, but I heard this radio talk show host say several years ago, it's a white man, on 850 KOA out of Denver, and he's saying something that's still stuck in my head all these days about what has made white people so successful and why other people haven't been as successful as white people. And when you look at it, that's the reason other people are more successful than us. And what he said was, giving white people the edge over all the other people of the world is our ability to organize. And you think about it, they got systems. You can't run a system unless you organize. And white folks got all kind of system after system after system. What kind of black, what kind of system that's productive does black people have? The church, that's about it, as far as I know of. The church, everything else.
Yeah,
and they have a system as being a criminal system. No, yeah, man, I'm going to go down here to New Orleans and get that dope, and I'm bringing it back here and all. You're going to sling it for me, right? They got them kind of systems, you know? But when it comes to having a system set up, we don't have it. And that's why, you know, that's a system is part of being organized. You can't organize unless you got a system. And when you come to systems, we are destroyed because of the lack of any kind of system that's productive. And that's why everywhere you go find black folks, we got like a jailhouse mentality. You know, there was a sports writer wrote that a couple of years ago about this here football player. But anyway, that's basically what I've been seeing for the longest. And that was this jailhouse mentality that too many of our people have. They talk like it. They dress like it. Act like it. And then you say something against it, you're wrong for saying it. You know?
Yeah, they want to call you all they want to call you all these crazy names and everything. But, you know, even though we know that, but it don't have to be that way. Because blacks have a lot of talent and a lot of smart and brilliant people within society. You just don't have enough of them. And you don't have them with the aspirations and the will to do the things that need to be done in order to turn that around. And another thing, blacks depend too much on government. Government. If it was some way that we could snap our fingers next Tuesday and make all whites disappear Wednesday morning, blacks would have a fit.
I mean, you say it. I hate to admit it. As bad as I hate to talk about black women, and as bad as I hate to talk about black men, black people. I've been guilty before myself. I try to see my errors and try to correct them. But most of us don't even try. And as you said earlier, brother, I'm going to put in that all. Yeah, we got a lot of talent in the black community. We got folks who could do everything except organize to do something productive. Now, that's why I used to follow the Nation of Islam. The reason I followed the Nation of Islam, it wasn't because I was interested in Islam. It wasn't because I was interested that much in religion. But they was talking, when I first heard them, they were talking about, yeah, black brothers and sisters, what we're going to do it all. We're going to, you know, have black people. We're going to be doing this and predict, we have black people doing that in this society. And I said, man, I got to support this organization. I got to get behind. I followed them for years. And out of all the money the Nation of Islam has collected all these years, I don't know how many millions they collected. But where can you go and buy a gallon of gas at that's owned by the Nation of Islam. You know,
but
where
you know
you
what?
And find a source. Oh, you know, stuff like that. But go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
You know what? Under Elijah Muhammad, back in the 50s, Nation of Islam was very organized. Matter of fact, they was the largest employer of black people in the United States. But when they had their fallout with Malcolm, right, when they had their fallout with Malcolm, and now which in his Elijah's son came in there, and then it evolved into what it is now, they just can't get back on their feet. And I think the people just got too old.
But probably look at another thing, Rookie, but think about it. I started following the Nation of Islam in 1983 when Jesse Jackson was in there and all these white folks upset called Farrakhan. A man named Farrakhan was back and had the audacity. He started doing that in 1983. I didn't know who Farrakhan was. No idea. I lived in Mississippi, right? I was working offshore in Louisiana in the Gulf of Mexico, watching television while he was having dinner down on a platform out there. And
you're on an oil platform, right?
A mobile oil back in them days, right? Out there before it became ExxonMobil.
My grandson is going to LSU now to be a gas and petroleum engineer.
Exactly, where we need more people like that. So we start doing stuff like that on our own, for one thing. But exactly, it was no matter how you do it. My point is, I was watching that, and I saw these people upset at Jesse Jackson, and that's when I started, now 1983. So from 1983 to 2016, I'm not mistaken, that's what, 33 years? Look how many black people, other people, white people, that are not even 33 years old, that are multimillionaires, successful, and more successful than the Nation of Islam, who have been born since then. And you look at the Nation of Islam, it's just, as far as all these little mosques scattered around the United States, different cities and all like that, you know, it's hard to see nothing. I mean, nothing that makes you see, make it look like it's worth your while to support it to a great extent, especially since they got so, what really made me fall out with them when they got this love affair with women. Brothers, you got to open the door for the sisters, brother. You got to open the doors. I was trying to process to become an FOI. And when he told me I had to start opening doors for all these women, I said, brother, I got to do that. I used to get it. I mean, I don't want to be the FOI. That's what made me leave it alone.
Yeah.
You got to understand, it's a door for a sister. I don't see it like, I didn't see it like that then. I don't see it like that now. And I ain't going to never. Anyway, brother, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, look, I'm going to get out of here, man, let you go on with your program. But I just wanted to get that out there about you mentioned about Sandra Bland. Not that we saying that we glad she did. No, we think it's a tragedy, but I believe it could have been prevented. I'll talk to you later, man.
Thanks very, very much for calling. Black Men Talk Radio. The number to call in here on Black Men Talk Radio is 516-418-5541. Feel free to call in and speak your mind on which is our subject tonight is 64,000 black women are reportedly missing and basically nobody cares. How could this be? Well, it's happening. It really is. So that's one thing we talked about Ted Cruz, no information about to come out with him. His number was actually found, and it's been several years ago with the D.C. madam. And now they're going to release that information. His number is supposed to be one of the numbers on that list. I hope it comes out before tomorrow morning for sure so people will know. Tonight, really. It probably came out already, but that was about 2 hours ago I got that information. And see what else here. I'm talking about Rick Barber. Wait a minute. You're like, okay, this is a good one right here. What, black men, what would your finances look like if you had all the money back that you have lost over the years effing with black women? Now, you understand what I'm going to say one more time. Black men, asking black men, what would your finances be like today if you had all the money back that you have lost over the years effing with black women? Feel free to call in and state your mind on that right there. The number to call, 516-418-5541. I'm your host, Marvin Carter, broadcasting live here from deep in the heart of Texas. Call in here real quick, 404-404-921. You're on Black Men Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot there, brother. Appreciate you calling there at all. What's on your mind?
Well, I seen the title about the missing black women, and that kind of coincides with, I think it was like 2 years ago, there was an article about a lot of missing black men. So basically, we're just talking about missing black people in a white supremacist country, so it's no surprise the levels of terrorism and genocide that they'll go to. So I really want to explore these topics and figure out not only what's going on, but what areas are people missing from, and how is this kind of going so unnoticed?
Yeah, as I was just saying, it's a map, as I talked about earlier. You go to online, it's a map from the Polaris Project, P-O-L-A-R-I-S, Polaris Project, got a map that shows where a lot of these women, and it shows where a lot of these people who end up missing from this country and where they end up surfacing at. And for too long, we heard about, like, Saudi Arabia. A lot of women have ended up in Saudi Arabia, especially beautiful women, and especially the beautiful white women have ended up in Saudi Arabia. But when I look at this map, I don't see Saudi Arabia nowhere on the list. Mexico's on there, Russia, Thailand, China, and all that. But when it comes to – maybe I'm looking at it wrong on it. Maybe it's – I just have the picture here. I don't have the actual content of it right now. But when I look at it – anyway, brother, go ahead. What do you know about it? What do you know about that? Go ahead.
No, I need to learn a lot more. So I was just saying it's an interesting topic that you brought up,
well,
and you know it needs to be studied a lot more.
I did one reason I brought it up. I did a video yesterday. I posted it on Black Men Talk Radio. You can go on my name Marvin Carter. You go to my YouTube page on Facebook or on YouTube Marvin Carter, or you can go on Facebook on the Black Men Talk Radio, and you will see where. You would see where there's a missed a call there, but you would see where there's a video I posted talking about women for sale in Mexico. Now, I was over in Mexico there yesterday. I'm serious. I'm not making this up. I heard this before, but I thought it was just people just talking. I heard a guy. I think it was a Mexican said he went there. Man, if you want a woman, you can go down to Oaxaca and buy a woman. Well, I'm over in Mexico yesterday and all. I'm talking to these. The guy, this black man I saw over there, he's a black Mexican. You go type it in. It's called the name of the video. What is the name of the video is Are women really for sale in Mexico? Are women really for sale in Mexico? You type that in, and you see the video I did yesterday. At all talking about this, where the guy actually a Mexican, black Mexican that speaks pretty good English. He's explaining down in the Mexican state of Oaxaca, how these women down there are beautiful. There's some pretty women down there too, brother. I'm serious. But there's a lot to say about that. But anyway, he talks about how it's legal in that state for parents, you know, to take the 10,000 pesos, which is equal to $576 and legally a man can buy a woman. I don't know about as far as bringing it back to the United States like that and all, but I guess I don't know how to do all that, but that's what's been going on for a long time. And this guy really the first one I heard talk about it in a coherent kind of way, where he goes pretty much in detail about it. I didn't put all of what he said on the video. I edited a lot of it out, but I put the main things that he did say about that. And so that's just one place that we do know that happens. So I thought about a lot of these truck stops there in South Texas, across Interstate 10 and 20, right towards California, Interstate 10 and 20, I think even up on 40. A lot of the truck stops got these signs of a Latina woman on it. Something about, sex, human trafficking and all like that, because a lot of these guys do that. Now, another thing I learned also, brother, this is what caused me to start looking a little bit. I didn't spend a lot of time looking, but when I was looking when I started part about the 64th thousand black women that were missing, and that article is from 2014. And I do remember hearing something about that way back, but you know, well, my attitude was, who cares? Myself, I got a problem with black women myself. You know, I hate to have it, but at a certain extent, you know, it's validated. It's been validated too many times. But what I wanted to say, I lost my train of thought. Go ahead, brother, please. I'm sure you got something more to say. Go ahead.
Well, I'll just add that tonight, right now, at this very moment, we got unpaid so-called student-athletes, young black adults, playing in a $400 million publicly funded pro football stadium for the benefit of the coaches, the administrators, and all of these other people who are getting wealthy and making a living off of this free labor. As we see our young kids exploited once again, football and basketball, basically paying for the majority of the rest of the athletics on the university and a whole lot of salaries. So that disgusting display is on the night that I refuse to watch.
My first time hearing about that, but that really, brother, but tell you the truth, since the days of the colonies here in the United States, even before then, this country has been based on slavery, and even till this very day, except it's basically high-tech slavery to a great extent. Not really high-tech, but in a way it is, and high-tech even that area. But I learned about this in the book I downloaded. You know, I used to, the woman, Ann Coulter, I did a video about her the other day, too. I never been a big fan of Ann Coulter, but, you know, some odd reason, you know, I've been knowing about Ann Coulter since way back, I guess, probably in the late 90s. But I didn't like her, you know. And for some odd reason, I sided with the Democrats back then. You know, the Democrats ended up losing my interest all the way around, too. And I didn't like the Republicans, and I still don't even like the Republican name. If you notice, even Donald Trump didn't want to run as a Republican, but he said he wanted to get elected. He needed to because they got the system set up. And they're so afraid they might go independent. But anyway, she's the one that set the pace for Trump's campaign about all the illegal aliens and all like that, building the wall and all that. But anyway, my point is, reading that book that she wrote called Adios America, it talked about a lot, and I thought about a lot of things I already knew myself. For example, now this is what gets me. Now you think about, I don't know where you live at, brother, but I'm sure you know about this right here. Now, like where you live, I guarantee you there's a house far where you live at. It may not be there right now, but you might know of a house where there have been a lot of Mexicans living in that house. And supposed to be when people on the outside look at it and say, yeah, those Mexicans, they sure got a lot of, they all family-oriented. They really love each other a whole lot more than black people, everybody else. They live together and all like that. Might be 20, 30, there may be 20 or 30 people living in one house. You heard about all that, right? Now, I never been by one of my houses and counted all the people, but who hasn't heard that story? Are you familiar with that story, with people talking about that? Are you familiar?
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you what's really.
That's the system of raising money.
Right. Well, that's what they say. Now, it is in a great extent. Yeah, it is. But what they don't tell you, what I've learned, it coincides with what Ann Coulter was talking about. In most of them cases, why when Donald Trump said it, the media got all over him. And it's the one reason you go to Mexico, Mexican women, you see up in Georgia and New York and all like that, a lot of them sort of short and fat. Don't look too hot. But once you get back down towards that border, they got all these black Mexicans or these half-black, high-yellow-looking Mexicans, all like that. You can look at them, tell they're black. But they won't say they're black. They say they're Moreno, Mexicanos, right? But anyway, my point is, a lot of them pretty women, they don't try to speak into the United States. Some of them do. But when Donald Trump said there's about 80% to 90% of the women being raped that come up from South America, Central America, through Mexico, if by the time they get to the United States, they've been raped, almost all of them. So that one reason you'll see it got to be logic. Look, use the logic behind it. You wonder, why is it you get down to Mexico, these women are so beautiful, so pretty, make Puerto Rican chicks look like they out of, I don't know, somewhere out of the Congo, I guess, somewhere. No, I mean, these women are beautiful. So you see that many women down there that are good looking. You say, well, maybe that's one reason why they don't go to the United States. Plus, his brother yesterday and all was telling me, I said, so you're telling me it's more racism in the United States than it is in Mexico? Oh, hell yeah, he said that, right? Now, you can look at the video called, once again, it's on, you can type in on Google, are there really in Mexico? You look that up and you'll see it. So anyway, my point is, when you see all these Mexicans living inside these houses, go ahead, what?
Yeah, I would advise you to check out some of these women from the Congo and from the Sudan, man. You'll find a lot of beautiful women.
Well,
I don't know what that
well
was
it might be, brother. I tell you what, send me that picture for look at that. Send me that picture for the other part. I want to see it. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, it ain't hard. You can go online and look. You can find it. It's not hard.
Yeah, I'm telling, every time somebody said that to me, I ask them, just do that right there. I didn't look. I haven't found it. I'm clear. It possibly is.
Well, you might just have a different taste, man. You might have a more Eurocentric taste.
Well, maybe so. I don't know, brother.
That's you.
I would try to say.
But I'd advise you to be careful with quoting Ann Coulter, man. She's known to fabricate stories.
Brother,
I'm just giving you the real.
I look at the facts behind what Ann Coulter said, not her opinion, okay? I look at the stuff she talked about. She resisted facts. I look them up for myself, but I know a lot about it. Like I tell you right now, the stuff you never read about. And I'm telling you it all, when you start to see a lot of these Mexicans living in one house, what's really going on there? They are indentured servants in lots of cases. You know what an indentured servant is? That's how this country got started.
Mm-hmm.
White folks use white folks from England over here as indentured servants. They didn't have the money to pay to come over here, so they come over here and they got to work anywhere from 4 to 7 years to pay their debt off or riding over here on the Mayflower or whatever. Now, it's still going on today, but we don't hear anything about it. It's not in the news media, but what's going on.
That's been going on a while. Yeah, that's been going on a while. They call them coyotes, the guys
that
are driving.
Most people don't know that. Most people don't know that. If they did, they wouldn't be saying, oh, you know, Mexico, they live together to save money. They wouldn't be saying all that. I ain't never heard no black folks talk about that. I'm serious. Never. Talk about the indentured servitude angle of all these Mexicans you see living in houses. So that was going a lot of that is, you know, is I'll tell you about like last week.
Let me ask you a question, man. Are you a Trump fan?
Yes, I'm a Trump fan.
Trump believe it or not.
Yeah, yes, I am. Yeah, right. But I'm going to tell you why. Because the country's going downhill, and the Democrats are going to do everything about it. Hillary Clinton, because she one of the reasons it went downhill, her and Bill Clinton, with NAFTA alone. But real quick, I'm over in Indiana back here last week, and I'm talking to this guy about these Mexicans there and all, and I'm a little bit of Espanol. But anyway, he told me that he came to work. They came to work one morning, and they found a Mexican wrapped up in plastic, dead behind their building. And the other two guys that worked there, they didn't show up. They were gone. They never saw him again. That's just one example because they hated each other. They were mad at each other, whatever. A lot of that happened because they all living together. Now, was it indentured servitude situation? I don't know. One example. It looked like it was, according to him.
Are you a black man? Yeah, are you a black man?
Yes, I am. Why? Yeah, because I want to vote for. Because I think that what Trump is saying makes sense. That makes you think I'm not a black man or what?
I'm asking. You know, just a point of reference.
Yeah,
I'm trying to figure it out.
I founded this show here, Black Men Talk Radio, to try to help black men. Because folks, too many of us want handouts. Too many of us, like I said, for example, Bernie Sanders, the stuff he's talking about doing. It's not going to create original recall. You're not going to create jobs in this country as far as organic jobs. You talk about taking money from the government to pay people to do this and do that, work government jobs. As far as creating jobs in this country, they all want to talk about creating jobs, organic jobs, and bringing the jobs back to this country. You lose the middle class.
The Republicans or the Democrats are not bringing jobs back to this country. By saying I'm going to bring jobs back, that doesn't qualify as a real metric to measure.
Didn't the Democrats and Republicans send them out of here?
Yes.
Did George Bush,
yes.
even Barack Obama, and especially Bill
yes.
Clinton, Gore,
and
they
Donald
sent
Trump.
Them out of here with NAFTA.
And Donald Trump, yes. who has the majority of his holdings in other countries.
I seen the video. Donald Trump in 1988 was talking against that situation already, even in 1988. But when they change the law, what are you going to do? Look, right now, I got to load a NAFTA product on my truck right now going up north, okay? NAFTA.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying I can't hard to find places doing stuff like that. I the system. If you become a truck driver, you'll be hauling NAFTA stuff within the system. And that's what's been killing the country.
Of course.
Believe it or not. Anyway, look here, brother. Thank you for your call. I'll go to another call here, Black Men Talk Radio. Okay, go to another call here, Black Men Talk Radio, 412-498. You're on Black Men Talk Radio.
All right. Peace to you, good brother. How you doing?
Yeah, thank you, brother. Thanks for calling in, Black Men Talk Radio. Oh, this brother, Fatah, huh? Fatah?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me plug on my Bluetooth. Yes,
this is Brother Matai. I meant to call in early. I almost forgot that you was on. You know, I was up here reading them. I almost forgot you was on. Yes, peace. How you doing, brother? How's everything? Who was the brother that was just speaking on? Yes, how you doing there? Who was the brother that was just speaking on the brother that was just speaking on the call? Because he spoke some really good stuff. Who was the brother that just was on the call?
Now, which one was he talking about? Which one? What was he talking about? The one you referred to.
Yeah, the one that just called in. Yeah, because I want to, that brother, the one that just called in.
When I muted his mic, he hung up.
Okay.
What did he say that got your attention? Go ahead.
When he was talking about the, I think he might have been talking about some of the Republicans and stuff like that. I just found that interesting. But you was talking about, what were you talking about? You was talking about the blacks and stuff like that. So where do you see the future of America standing now? Let me ask you that.
It looks pretty bad. We're definitely in a recession right now that folks don't want to talk about. Ellie Jones has talked about today. We're in a deep recession, getting deeper by the day, especially if we don't get Donald Trump in there to make America great again. Let me tell you how it is. You know, because you need new jobs, you need jobs to be brought back here, because when a country loses its middle class, it's going to be history. And right now, in the middle class works jobs, basic jobs. They got more and more of that leaving the country. And hey, brother, I hate to even talk. I just told a lot more I can say about that. But it's almost too tricky to talk about. Right then, it's too sensitive at the moment, which I mentioned to you the other day. But at the same time, that's what's destroying our community. Even where I live at, you got too many selling dope, stealing, all like that. They will work jobs that they can find jobs. So a lot of them don't want to travel. Mm-hmm. I got to leave home to make money. I can't be here as a truck driver. I have to leave home. All right? Basically. My education is not the best in the world, you know, like that and all. Even as well as a lot of folks who think they got a good education, a lot of them have to end up driving trucks because there are a lot of states. You know what the number one industry is today? I don't know what all states.
I think
Missouri is one of them. Trucking is the number one industry in several different states. Because somebody, no matter what it is you got in your house, you can't name nothing you got. Probably the air in your lungs that you didn't get to call the truck. And people don't want to admit that.
There's a lot of opportunity with trucking, you know, school bus transportation, all that stuff, anything dealing with transit, you know, but the trucking has definitely got to be, because you figure that's the shipment, you know, when you're talking about trucking, you're talking about shipping and receiving, traveling, and shipping and receiving, you need your shippers, not just about the people at the factory, you need people to go ship.
I've hauled loads down the highway before that were free as much as $3 million on one truck. Now these people they won't be stuck. And what was I hauling? Mm-hmm. That particular load I was hauling, I've hauled it several different times. Out of San Francisco, Kentucky. And that was a load of AIDS drugs. You know, HIV AIDS drugs. Okay, the load of that is $3 million. And it worth $3 million back in the day. And I haven't hauled it in several years. But that's just one example.
Okay.
A lot of electronics, the TV challenge. No computers and all that kind of thing. Lots of million-dollar loads a lot of times. But somebody got to go get it and bring it. And, you know, people get paid at every level. The shippers, the receivers, the folks, the salesman that sold the load, the person that, you know, that brokered the load. You got a lot of bloodsuckers inside the system, sucking the money out the system. But that's a story by itself. And don't get me started talking about trucking. I hate talking about that angle of it, but we're definitely in a recession with less and less stuff, more stuff coming in the country than going out the country. That's why Donald Trump talked about we got ships that come in from Japan, overseas, and they pull all these cars and stuff. They come off that all, and when they get through unloading the ship, you know what they put on the ship? You know what they put on the ship after they unload them? Nothing.
What they put on?
They turn the ship around and sit. It's nothing. Many of them ships get turned around with nothing. They go all the way back to Japan, China, Taiwan, or whatever, and get another load of cars and bring them over here. A lot of folks over there making money over in China and all those kind of places, you know, bettering their lives, come over here at all and selling people high-dollar cars that's for twice or three times more than what they made them for, if not more than that. So is Hillary Clinton going to stop that? I don't think so. Barack Obama didn't stop
So you're saying a lot of these cars over here that people be paying $400 and $500 car notes a month, you're saying it's not even worth it, the cars that these whites be selling over here. You know how the cars look all night.
No,
stuff you would think.
I'm not gonna use the term. I'm not gonna use the term not worth it. I'm gonna say they're being sold for too much. It's being sold for too much because they make them I don't know what they make them for, but I wouldn't be surprised they make them cars for less than $2,000, brand new. But when you buy one over here, and all you spend $30,000, $40,000 or more.
Wait a minute. So you saying those cars that's $30,000, $40,000, it might only cost them $2,000 to make that car? You tell them?
I don't know exactly what the numbers I heard before at all, but pretty close stuff, something like that. They're down there, way down there.
Wow.
They're like the tennis shoes they sell for $200 and $300. What about three or four or five dollars to make them? Talk about you lying. They make them shoes for $10. Well, it's very, very low. But they end up selling them for about $300. That's what's really going on. And like I said, how is this people in this country going to make money if they can't sell stuff to the other countries? You know, especially when the ship turns around and goes back empty. You know, stuff like that happens a lot. I know it happens a lot. I can say a whole lot more about it, what I'm saying, brother. But I hate to say it more and say too much on that particular subject at the moment. But that is what's going on. But anyway, let me put you on. If you got something else to say, I'll put you on hold and get this other caller.
Okay.
What time your show start tonight?
11:30. I'm looking at 11:30. Probably when you click off, 11:30 or roughly 12. 11:30, or I might be getting there at 12 tonight.
I got your message earlier, so I will be calling in. Let me put you on hold.
I'll be waiting because I'm going to probably be having this discussion about the North American Trade Union, and we're going to go into Mexico and everything. So, this is going to be a very good discussion.
Thank you. Okay, go to call here, area code 410-212. Yeah. You're on Black Men Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. How you doing?
Not too bad, there, brother. Thanks for calling Black Men Talk Radio. Always a pleasure to hear from another black man calling the Black Men Talk Radio. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Oh, I just tuned in. I don't even know your particular subject for tonight.
Right. Well, the main subject for the night I wrote up was the 64th. This article came out in 2014 talking about 64,000 black women are reportedly missing. And basically, nobody cares. How could that be? All them black women missing, nobody knows cares about it. But they end up talking about white slavery, they call it, sex slavery, human trafficking. That way, led into it all, and other alone, because we don't know what these women look like and all like that. But we do know that a lot of pretty white women have been kidnapped, taken, and over to places like Saudi Arabia. Now, Saudi Arabia is not on the list of all these countries that are doing that, but we do know that a lot of them ended up in Saudi Arabia for some odd reason. There have been a whole lot of people, I think, even these Miss America women. Now, they've been wrong about that. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but I don't know about them. A lot of women that have won a lot of beauty pageants have all, over the years, what I heard through the grapevine, they're reading articles, have actually been offered money by these rich multi-billionaires over there in that country. To come over there just to have a good time.
Yeah, I've heard
that
also.
Kind of money, I'm sure you don't have a hard time doing it. Go ahead. What?
Yeah, I heard the same thing also about the Saudis or the Arab men. They pay big top dollar for beautiful white women, you know, for us to be, you know, concubines, wives, or just, you know, sex servants and stuff. So, yeah, that's true. I've heard that plenty of times.
Plus also, first of all, besides teenagers right here and all, how do you hear about Black Men Talk Radio? How do you learn about it, about the show here?
Oh, I mean, one of the groups, like the, what's that group? The Brazilian, the Charles Tyler group, and a couple more groups.
Oh, that group.
That you posted, yeah. Oh.
Okay, brother. All right, let me say it for the record. We don't talk about that group in this show. Ha ha. Okay,
okay.
But anyway.
Okay.
I don't mind. I mean, don't get me started talking about it, brother. Don't get me started.
Right.
But my point is, I thought you might have been in Black Men Talk Radio, either one called Black Men and Mexican Mamacitas, that group right there at all, and a couple other groups I got. But anyway, it led to the show here, Black Men Talk Radio. But my point is, the reason I asked you that, I posted a video in Black Men Talk Radio on my name, Marvin Carter, but also on YouTube, where you can type it in. Yeah. The name of it is, the name of the video is, Are Women Really For Sale in Mexico? Okay?
I watched that. I think I saw that. I got to see the video. It's like a minute or 2 minutes long. It's like a short video. But yeah, the black Mexican on there talking to you, interviewing, right?
Exactly. Exactly,
right.
Brother. Right. But that led to the conversation tonight here, too, you know, when I started looking around and heard about these 64,000 black women missing, and somebody asked me, did I care? You know, and then it went on. But anyway, brother, what I'm getting at is, then I had a woman on there talking on the article about video that I watched, but I can't say the man's name right now, but he was talking, and she was saying, he was wondering, why is all these black women missing? You know, how could that be? And the woman said, because some cases it's domestic violence, you know, is one reason a lot of them missing. And then there's also, you know, sex trafficking, you know, human trafficking. A lot of them end up in other countries. A lot of these women end up in other countries. A lot of these women end up in other countries not to be sex slaves, but slaves, period, working in fields, according to the article.
Wow.
So can you imagine one of these so-called strong black women having to trade her briefcase in and her Mercedes or whatever, you know, and end up, you know, in a field somewhere in a rice paddy or whatever, you know, growing rice. Can you imagine that? Well, apparently that's what's happening to some of these women from the United States. They don't all end up being just sex slaves. They end up working as slaves, because slavery still exists in this world, no matter who tells you that slavery no longer exists. They call it different names, but especially indentured servitude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, slavery is prevalent, although still prevalent all over the world. In Africa, South America, particularly in Brazil, it's a lot of it. I've seen a documentary on slavery in Brazil. They have people captive in the Amazon and different interior, rural areas in the interior where they held that gunpoint, and they're doing some type of planting and cutting down trees and all this, you know, hard labor, man. Basically kind of some type of lumber type thing where they just clearing the forest or whatever. But it's at gunpoint, you know, guess they will.
Right.
So,
right,
yeah,
right.
It's real stuff. But also, it's another dynamic with the missing people. Now, I know from what I heard, organ harvesting is real big around the world. Organs,
exactly,
you know,
brother, right.
Body snatching,
yep.
You know.
Exactly. Talk about, you can check out Alex Jones' show called Infowars.com. They talk about that on there a lot. Yeah, brother, we're getting down pretty close to the end of the show. You have any closing comments before I put you back on hold? I'll go to this other brother before you hang up. Brother Patai, he got a show. He has a show coming on tonight also on Block Talk Radio. But anyway, I'm going to put you back. I'm going to put you back on hold, brother. Thank you very much for calling.
Sure.
We're going to do shows every night no more, but we do them every time we can. And join the group, Black Men Talk Radio. Thanks a million for calling Black Men Talk Radio. Okay, Brother Patai, you're... Wait one moment. Okay, Brother Patel, you there?
Yes, I'm back with you, brother. Thank you so much.
Okay, brother.
For me to tell the audience, yes, my program is Philadelphia Revolutionary Telecast. The show number is 347-934-0216. The show number to call in tonight is 347-934-0216. And, of course, hopefully I'll be on with you, and I'm Brother Batai, and I'm also on BTR. So, and I will be also talking about your program, too, as well. I will be also promoting your program over on my page, brother. So I will be shutting out your show, Black Men Talk Radio.
Thank you. You're welcome to call anytime. You're one of my best supporters on here at all. And you're my favorite brother out of Philadelphia, besides Brother Robert Alexander Moore. He's a Facebook friend out of in Philadelphia. But anyway, before we close the show out there, brother, another thing, but before we close the show, I got to make sure people out there hear this comment made by Hillary Clinton several years ago.
Genesis,
he's a white supremacist.
Cain was Marx. Therefore, I believe in white supremacy.
Yep, you hit it right there for Hillary Clinton. Says she believes in white supremacy. For those folks out there who are worried so much about Donald Trump being a racist or whatever. My brother, I'm going to close the show out real quick. I'm going to go ahead and take it out of here. I'll let this white man sing this song up for us real quick as the show goes off. Here you go. Who is it? Brother Willie. And Willie, take us out of here.
Living on the road, my friend, was going to keep you free and clean. Now you wear your skin like iron, and your breath is hard as kerosene. You weren't your mama's only boy, but her favorite one, it seemed. She began to cry when you said goodbye. Sank into your dream. Pancho was a bandit boy. His horse was fast as polished steel. He wore his gun outside his pants for all the honest world to feel. Pancho met his match, you know, on the deserts down in Mexico. And nobody heard his dying. His mouth. The day they laid poor Pancho low, the lefty split for Ohio, where he got the bread to go. There ain't nobody.